Do you like conspiracies?
Only for their entertainment value?
Well, you've come to the right place.
Here, we talk about the four-letter word, conspiracy.
And we also make jokes about them.
Welcome to What the Conspiracy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to WT Conspiracy, a.k.a. What the Conspiracy, where two grown men talk about conspiracies and then, for the most part, think this is crazy and makes no sense, but it's a grand old time. We do this because it's fun, not because we believe necessarily any of it. But that's our disclaimer. With that being said, we are your co-hosts. I am Peaswad, and he is...
Sleepy. It's supposed to be Weasel. I actually said Wazzle the other day, a little bit ago, so we could switch it to Sleepy Wazzle.
Yep, Sleepy Wazzle.
We should probably Google what a Wazzle is first, though. So probably, it, like, yeah, make sure it's probably not something like crazy.
We probably shouldn't be saying it out loud until we know exactly what the hell it is.
Yeah, weird words. Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Dangerous, living life dangerously. So if you know what a Wazzle is, hit us up in the chat and let us know if we just canceled ourselves. So great start to the podcast today. Yeah. Super great start, but
over before it started.
So. It only took 22 episodes, but now they're gone. They're dead and gone.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome, everybody. We are at WT Conspiracy on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. We are WTConspiracy@gmail.com if you would like to email us, which who does that? And then we also have videos on YouTube, so a video format of this on YouTube where you can see our faces if you haven't seen them already. We're here. We finally made it. Sorry about last week's episode. By the time that we were able to record it, it would have made no sense at all because on episode 21, we both said how we were going to be out of town this week. It's last weekend. And by the time we were able to record, we would have had no time to edit. And then it would have been just kind of pushed out. And we didn't want that. So we just skipped last week.
Sure.
And it's for a good reason. Like, you went and saw your family. I went and saw my family. You know, like, it's cool, man. I feel like it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that our ones and ones of listeners are okay with it. But we missed last week, and it is what it is. So we're back, though. We didn't stop like we have done before. We don't plan to stop. For quite a while, I think, right?
You know, with reasoning like that, we're going to be in the tens of listeners sooner rather than later, I bet.
You got to be careful, you know? Man. You'll get what you deserve. Tens and tens of listeners.
I would, what will I ever do with tens and tens of listeners?
Just wait. One day we'll hit double digits. It's going to be crazy, man. Super crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But, let's jump into the country shout out. Did want to say that we have returning countries of the U.S. and Canada. Sleepy, what did you do to make us lose our French listener?
I don't know. I made a baguette joke. Okay. And maybe they didn't like that because it's the only French word I know. So maybe come back, France. You know, whoever you are.
We miss you,
should
France.
We just go? We should just go there. Just start knocking on doors.
Yeah.
Just ask.
Like, have you seen our
faces? How many people are in?
Oh, wait. No, they would have listened.
How many people are in France?
At least.
Can you Google that real quick? Like, how many?
It says here at least 18.
At least 18 people?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's not too many doors to knock on, you know?
Yeah, but they're all separate. 67.97 million as of 2022.
It's a lot of doors to knock on. So let's say there's three. So that's 20 million doors to knock on?
Oh, yeah. That's at least a weekend.
What are you doing next week, Fees?
Knocking on doors in France. Baby, come back.
Yeah, let's go.
It's never going to be in French. So whatever baby come back is in French. What is it, Sleepy? Baby come back in French is.
I'm not even going to try. I'm not even going to butcher it. I'm not making France mad again. Like, you're crazy. already made him upset once. Oh, I'm not doing it again. You do it.
I love it. I love calling you out on things that I know that you don't know. Like, say hello to the people in France, and you're just like,
yeah,
they're in the headlights.
Yeah, just I don't know. I just start looking up how to say hello in all these different languages. Just start post-it noting it behind me, so that way I can just like pick and choose.
You're like,
you know what I mean? And just grab things.
There we go.
Yeah, just like, which one? I have terrible handwriting.
German? It's hallo. There you go. That's crazy, right? Do you know what soup is?
I didn't know that.
In the word rush, in Russian? The word soup?
Beverage? Because that's what it is. It's not food. It's a drink.
Jesus. You're barely from the Midwestern United States by saying that. Let me just tell you that sure.
I'll eat chili.
Oh, yeah.
I like chili.
Yeah.
But outside, like, I'm not, my wife, she made potato soup for dinner, like, yesterday. I'm not eating that. No interest in drinking my dinner. Like, oh, it's just, my God. I have very hard opinions on soup, everybody. Not a meal. It is a beverage.
I do, too, because I have to add, like, 200 pounds of crackers to my soup to make it very, like, not drinkable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah, whatever. Not my thing.
If you're a soup person, let us know in the comments below. We are not. Let's just say that we're not. I do love chili, as long as it doesn't have those disgusting vegetables in it.
I mean, I like big chunks of tomatoes in my chili.
Disgusting.
And I've been known on occasion after Brittany makes it to chop up and, like, you know, maybe like jalapenos are good in chili. Jalapenos are good in everything, you know. But I pretty much almost die because I'm 39. And my stomach can't handle it. Yeah. And you know what's funny about that? Is I didn't used to like jalapenos. Like when I was in my 20s and stuff, mm-hmm. I never really ate them, you know, because if I don't want something, I'm just never going to try it.
Oh, yeah.
But I finally tried them, like in my my early 30s. Like I started eating them. I was like, these are freaking amazing. But at that point, like I'm getting older, my stomach is screwed. So then it's just heartburn just constantly.
Wait, if I go
eat something, yeah.
Speaking of things that you have never eaten before. Very recently, I figured out something that Sleepy has never eaten before, and he is 39 years old. What is that?
Yep. I have never had a bagel, ever, in my life.
That's so crazy.
The bread looks different, like it's going to taste different, so I just never had one. And after 39 years, there's no point to go and start now eating bagels,
I don't get it. There's a yawn. We got a yawn already. Burp's coming up soon. I don't get it because it's like he's got almost the same argument. When I'm like, hey, we're playing on a Minecraft server. You should join us. Oh, I'm 39. I never learned how to play those games. I guess I don't have to start now. What?
Yeah. What? There's only so many things room in my brain at 39.
I'm 39 before you.
Bro, if I start eating bagels, I have to stop doing something else.
No, you don't.
So what are we stopping?
No, you don't. You know,
what am I gonna kick out of my life? You know,
you're not at like max capacity in your brain.
I am.
No, you're not.
It's over. There's too much going on.
Then start losing some of the old stuff that doesn't matter.
Like what? I need that.
You know, like I don't know. Child.
I'm not getting rid births, of. I'm not getting rid of my Wizard of Oz facts. I need all those.
No. Don't get rid of that. But like you know, like get rid of like. You know, two out of three of your kids is birth in your, you know, memory. That's a big space, right?
It is a big space.
And
it is
that
a big
could
space.
Easily be enough space for
you
bagels.
You remember the 2009 NFC Championship game where Brett Favre got the piss beat out of him by
where
the Saints?
He was the Vikings
quarterback. Got charged with bounty gate, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And they lost in the championship game?
Yeah.
One of my daughters was born right around that time.
Oh.
And that's what I associate with it.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, Brett let's Favre talk about one dying. Of my daughters. Guess who got caught skipping school today?
Oh,
take
no.
Take a guess.
It was? Oh, you said daughters.
One.
The middle one.
Yep. It was. And it wasn't really, she didn't leave campus, but like she was hiding in the bathroom, and she did it yesterday, and she was unexcused, and then they caught her today, so somebody has ISS for the next 3 days.
Ooh.
Yep. Which actually, she came home, she said it was amazing. She said she could just get her work done in like an hour, and then she spent the rest of the day looking at YouTube. She said, I just wish they'd put me in ISS every day. And I was just like, well, that's not really the approach they're looking for there, but you know, whatever.
Did you ever have to do ISS?
In-school
suspension? For those that don't know, ISS is in-school suspension.
A couple of times, but mostly they gave me like Saturday school, where you had to wake up and go in at like 8 in the morning.
Nope.
On a weekend to like make it usually because I would skip school and like okay to make up time you have to come to Saturday school which was the worst thing in the world for me
as
a teenager on a weekend
yeah
you know so but I used to do it but actually But I had my senior year, I had a vice principal, Mr. Stanley, who was by far my favorite teacher ever throughout, you know, school.
Oh yeah.
And he didn't make me make up all the time, but he, you know, I remember because there used to be this class called building trades. So you'd show up and you actually built a house. Like, they wouldn't let us do like important things like the foundation, but right. We could put up like sheetrock and help with things like that, and painting.
They were like, all right, and we're just going to warn you guys, in this house, this one bedroom was completely built by teenagers who have no idea what they're doing. So
yeah, exactly. I had that as my last class of the day.
Yeah.
Well, like my senior year. And I remember I would not go to school the rest of the day. And then I would just come to school to go to that because it was fun. It was easy. Mm-hmm. You know, hang out with my friends at a half built house and basically not help build the half built house. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, but I remember my vice principal, he came up to me one day when I got there one day, because he knew I was doing that. And he said, Paul, he said, can you pass your senior year just by coming to building trades? And I was just like, no. And he was like, that's a good answer. You know, so.
So made you go, but, like, you know what, I should go.
I still didn't. This. Like, I didn't need that many credits my senior year to graduate, so it didn't really matter. You know what I mean?
My friend Kyle and I, not Kyle Todd, different Kyle, did something similar where it wasn't a building trade thing. It was we would go and help in a middle school to do, like, helping with math, tutoring.
Sure.
And so it was like, they said, oh, yeah, you guys go down there whenever you want. And it was like, we didn't have set days or anything. And because we had the same study hall, we just went together. And I would say 92% of the time, we just went to, like, his house and just hung out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we did do some good math work. But, like I said, only 8% of the time. Like, the rest of the time, peace out, suckers.
Yeah. There was another thing you could do, like, if you wanted to, if your job would let you, you could have, like, and it wasn't called work release. Work study? It was something. Yeah, something like at the end of the day, if you had an after-school job, you could leave school early to go to. You just had to have, like, the people sign off on it. And I knew one of my buddies did that, but a guy he worked with worked there. Mm-hmm. So the dude would leave at, like, 1 o'clock every day and just go home and sleep. And then the guy would sign on this thing saying that he came to work, like, the days that he did it.
Yep.
So.
You got to know the right people.
I never did that. Like, I just didn't go if I didn't want to go.
Yeah.
Which, stay in school, kids.
Yeah, stay in school. I mean? Don't listen to us.
Don't listen to the dumb stuff that we did. Yeah. As
the stupid, reckless teenagers. Two idiots that are together are on a podcast talking about conspiracy theories. Weird, right? Stay in school, kids.
Yeah. Skipping school is a conspiracy theory. That's what that is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, we are cryptozoologists and ufologists as well. So, I mean, there's that. That we did get that out of this.
Yeah.
But
heck yeah, we did.
We've been talking for a while.
instead of doing. Do we want to do recent events? Because I can do mine.
Yeah.
The only like you said, you were out of town for a weekend, and so was I. So I was out of town because I went to see my brother in North Alabama, and we went to the South Star Music Festival.
Right.
So it had, the first day was like Shinedown, Tom Morello played, TLC, Gwen Stefani, who else? Ludacris was there. There was a few other people I'm probably missing out on. But anyways, it rained all day.
Itched the hell out of all me. All day. Sorry. Yeah.
All day. And it was so muddy. And something that people may or may not know about me, if my feet get wet, if my socks are wet, I 99% of situations I'm in, I go home. Because it's something I cannot stand.
Hashtag sleepy facts.
Yeah. So we were there, and within 10 minutes, like I said, it's so muddy because there's like 20, 25,000 people there.
Mm-hmm.
And they had just put sod down a couple of months ago, and it hadn't taken yet. So it was immediately just destroyed all the grass. So it's just, you even walking around, even like in the middle of the day towards the evening, just mud.
Yeah.
Like every step you took, it would come up like to the top of your shoes. Like, it was like, I was getting my brother's car to leave, and I had to like strip down like my shoes and everything, and like roll my pants all the way up inside out to make sure I didn't get mud all over. And we all had to do that. Yep. It was my wife, me, my two daughters, and then his family. And we went back to his house, went to sleep on Saturday, got up Sunday, and the city had inspected the conditions, and they canceled, deemed it unsafe to go back to for that many people to be there, and canceled Sunday. which Sunday is the day I wanted to be there because Sublime was playing, Jimmy Eat World, and Blink 182. Those were the three I really wanted to see, and I didn't get to see them.
Yeah.
But I did get to sit at my brother's house and watch football, and then the Vikings beat the Packers in Lambeau. Sambo.
I can't stand
you. Yeah. Dude, how who would have thought Sam Darnold?
Nobody.
Who would? Not me. Not me. Would have thought he'd be playing this well through four games. And, dude, this is the hardest stretch of games for the Vikings, this first four and these next couple.
Mm-hmm.
After that, they're playing, like, the Colts. They're playing the Jaguars, the Rams. Like, all of, you know what I mean? Like, all of these teams that are not great.
How did you just say that? The J-A-G the word?
Jaguars.
Say it again.
Jaguars. How do you say it?
Jaguar? I sound more southern there, though, when I say Jaguar.
You do. Jaguars.
Jaguar.
I guess.
That's how the British
Jaguars.
Say it.
Jaguars.
That's how the Brits say it.
Is it soft J? Jaguar. And is that also, not how they do it? I really hope that's how they do it. That'd be awesome.
That's how they do it in Germany. Oh, Jaguar.
Yeah.
Jaguar. Yeah.
But that was my weekend, going and watching a concert. But my wife really enjoyed seeing TLC, that rap group from the 90s, and my daughters enjoyed that too. And then both of my daughters really liked seeing Gwen Stefani. That's the other one. I forgot. Gwen Stefani was there, so they got to see her, and they all really enjoyed that.
And you didn't.
While I was standing there,
because you're like me, and it's like I would not watch that. That's not for me.
Well, I was standing there with them while they were watching it. You know what I mean? But I'm just like, they're all dancing, so I'm just like literally just holding ponchos and just like. Yep. Like, is she done yet? Just like, can we freaking go? Yeah, it's
I was
shit's bananas. Like, I get it. I get it, Gwen.
N-A-S and stuff.
You know, so.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's what I did last weekend. What were you out of town for? You have anything interesting you were visiting family for?
A shit show, let me just say that. Because
was it?
We left here on Friday. Friday, 9. It's like a 6.5 hour drive, 7 hour drive after you have stops with kids and whatever. And we get to Omaha and we stay at a Best Western, or as my wife properly dubbed it, the okayest Western.
The okayest Western.
Because I can tell you there are a lot nothing of best other about Westerns it, huh? that are better than that one, you know? This hotel, the Best Western, for people who aren't from the U.S., may not know it.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually okay, but for sure we did not choose an okay one. Like, they did the fancy thing where it's like they angle certain photos to make things look so much better than what they actually are.
Angle photos? That sounds just like crooked photos.
Like, if you got a dirty room and you want to take a picture, you're not going to take a picture of the whole room. You're going to take a picture of, the segment that's cleanest. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like a corner with a lamp in it or something.
Yeah, yeah. So they did that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We get there and we go for a swim in their pool. And we walk into the room and the whirlpool thing, the hot tub, was right there. And it had, in the middle of it, had a giant, thing of foam. Just...
Yum.
Bubbling up, and I'm like, oh, gross. And you look at the foam closer, and you could see grease and dirt speckles all over on the foam. And it was like, oh no. I can guarantee
that's not very G money.
You would have seen that, and you would have walked out. Almost guarantee you would have walked out.
No, I don't. I refuse to swim in hotel swimming pools, anyways. That's a thing for me. Well, and I don't get in hot tubs ever.
No.
Unless
it's
at somebody's house.
Right.
I refuse.
Unless it's somebody I can trust, But, my kids wanted to swim. They're brand new. Yeah. They've been going to swim.
Oh, sure. You let the kids swim for.
So, I had to be in the water because they don't know how to swim yet and they're learning still. But, whatever. But we play around and I don't really pay much attention. And then finally I started looking at stuff and I put on my kids' goggles. And I go under water, and it was, super cloudy. Like, you could barely see anything. And I don't know if that was because the water was just, that dirty, or if it's because they had a couple of slides, and aerated. You know, there's moving water coming into it, so it could do that, technically.
I think it can be too cloudy, too, if you put too many chemicals in it, right?
Yeah.
Is that a thing? Yeah.
That is so definitely that a thing. Maybe, it's got a chlorine smell to it, but you can also see like the tumbleweaves, just the balls of hair that all like combine. You know how you find like just a ball.
It's the worst.
There was multiple of those in the pool, and I was like, okay, I'm super grossed out. Let's get the hell out of here. Sorry, that was a really long story about a pool. But so, yeah.
Hey, I enjoyed it. You know what I mean? So
we went to, let's see, the next morning, we go to Kelly, my brother Train's kid. We go to his soccer game, get to see my side of the family. Yep. Awesome.
Yep.
My wife and I slept like complete trash because I have anxiety because of PTSD. And staying in hotels is not a cup of tea for me. So, needless to say, I barely slept that night.
And dude, I sleep like garbage. I sleep so like bad. Garbage in hotels. So every bad. Time. Every time, dude.
I don't know. And my wife was in another room on the other, like, we had rooms that were like right next to each other in number, but they were like across from each other instead of like right next to each other.
And so joined, was, like conjoining or whatever.
Yeah, like she was connecting. On the north side and I was on the south side, we'll say, whatever. I don't know exactly what side it was, whatever. But on her side, there was a goddamn swap meet of cars. And so they were out there revving their engines, and she said it was like
that's the worst.
3 hours of this. And then finally she heard cop sirens and then a whole bunch of cars taking off and getting out of there. And she said they're finally able to sleep. But she said they didn't do that until like 1 o'clock. Good. So it's like, come on, man.
Oh, man.
But yeah. So we went to out to her grandma's house at like 10:30. We left. We didn't get back to the hotel until like 2. And then so we took a nap from like 2 to 4 because we were all so tired. And then we wake up, get changed real quick, and then get into the car to go up to my brother's wedding reception. So my brother Dub and his wife Shelby, they're real nice people. Well, Shelby is. Like, Dub, yeah, you can fall off a cliff, kid. That's my brother. That's why I say that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we went to that. And then the next day, where's my dog in the background? You can see her. Big body.
Oh, I see her.
Twyla!
I could. You want me to grab Dr. Tiny Elvis real
we're
quick?
We're doing some dog shows.
Oh, here you go. Tiny Elvis is here. Hey, Tiny Elvis.
This is really great for people.
You want to say hi to everybody?
Yeah, get him next to the microphone.
Really good on Spotify. Hey. Yeah, there he is. A little upset. He's going to be more upset when I have to put him down. Yeah. This is my wife's dog, Tiny Elvis. Look at him. Look how magnificent he is. Look at him. Yeah, he's
for those that can't gorgeous. See, he is showing off a meatball of a dog.
Yeah. Yeah. Tiny see you Elvis later, buddy.
Fun. Fun dog.
Oh, he's upset. Yeah, fun dog. So,
yeah, we had to wake up the next morning. We get to go to the pumpkin patch, Vala's pumpkin patch in near Omaha, Nebraska. It literally is the number one pumpkin patch in the world for people coming, at least in the United States, but for like visiting. Mm-hmm. And it's only open for a month and a half. So it's like over 1 million people in a month and a half. That's crazy. That's how you know it's a lot of busy. People. So we went to there and walked around and paid a whole bunch of money for stuff. And then got in the car and drove back to here on Sunday.
Oh man, what a day.
And so Monday I was a complete zombie because it was like, it was so much driving and I drove. Because I'd like to drive. I don't like to ride in cars at all. But
whatever. Yeah, I'm the same way.
So, yeah, I've gotten some sleep. We're back. Everything is great. We've also spent a really long time just chatting today, and this is going to be kind of a long episode.
Yeah, it's very good.
So,
yeah, it can be, but I can, you know, there's a lot of this one is kind of, there's real science involved in this one, so we do have to touch on some points.
Yeah.
Well, just to make sure that we're covering it properly.
Let's, let's see, video games. I've been playing Graveyard Keeper, and I've been watching X-Men from 95 or whatever it is, 97, like back in the day, and Agatha altogether still. So that's it. Okay.
Okay. What I've been watching is a new season of Great British Baking Show came out. I've been watching that. So I've been watching that. And then also Deadpool and Wolverine was available on digital for purchase yesterday. Ooh. So I bought that and watched that yesterday. So I bought that and watched that again.
How many times have you watched it?
Total between theater and that, like five or six. Something like that. I went to the theater and saw it a bunch of times. You know, it's super good. If you haven't seen it, you should definitely watch it.
I thought it was really good, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so
and then I've been playing Chivalry, and I started a Don't Starve Together run, so that's what I've been playing.
Boom. Sorry, I'm trying to rush us into it.
Oh, I know you are. Go ahead.
Today's episode is episode number 22, and we're going to be talking about Earth was consumed by a black hole in 2012. Sleepy has done a lot of research,
right.
And I've done none, because that's how we do this, baby.
That's how we do this. Like, this right here, there was so much to do. Like, I didn't write all this down. We literally have a massive amount of printed research that I have read over and over again, so I make sure that printed I've got a decent color idea.
Too.
Yeah, yeah. Am I not supposed to do that? I don't care how much ink costs. It's fine.
I've got ink money.
I don't... Yeah, whoever... my wife is the only one who uses the printer, besides me doing this occasionally, so she'll be... She's going to run out of, like, cyan next week and just, like, freak out on me because it won't print anything or something.
How many pictures did you have that had blue in it? Well, there's a lot of the Earth, so...
Yeah, a lot of the Earth.
Rest in peace.
All right, so let's just kind of go over, like, the basis of this theory.
Yeah.
Like Pisa said, the theory is basically that when the Large Hadron, I was going to look up the exact pronunciation of that because I don't know it, and then I didn't, so I'm just going to call it the LHC.
Okay.
The Large
Hadron.
HC. Hadron. I'm just going to take your word for it. I'm just going to say Hadron. When they fired it up and turned it on in 2012, that when the particles, they started moving in because the Large Hadron Collider is 27 kilometers in circumference. And the way it works for experiments is they will beam particles in one direction and the other particles in the other direction at almost the speed of light, and then either...
Yeah, they're shooting them fast. Yeah,
like they're moving at almost the speed of light. It's something like it goes around like 11 to 12,000 times per second, these particles do, and then either they're colliding them into a stationary object for experiments or into each other. And the theory is that when they did it the first time and they collided the particles together, that they created a black hole that Earth was consumed by, and we just haven't noticed yet, because with the theories of relativity and gravity, if we were being consumed by a black hole, we would possibly still be in the same instance because time slows, and we just haven't realized yet that our world has ended. Because we just don't know it yet. So that's the theory. So to start off here. Yeah, well, I mean, it could be. Yeah, that's another thing too. People said, oh, they were wrong, it didn't. But, I mean, like, did it, though? Like, who knows?
We wouldn't know, because
we'll get some of that other stuff later, though.
Moving, nothing would change, right? That's the idea.
Well, the thing is that it would slow so much that, like, we'd be within a millisecond still of it happening. And, like, we wouldn't know, like, that we had been consumed yet.
We could have been consumed 20 million years ago. And we wouldn't know.
That's true. I guess it would depend on the size of the black hole and stuff like that.
And how close you are to the event horizon.
Do you ever think that maybe that's why the dinosaurs left? Because they saw it coming? They're like, oh, there's this thing over here. We better get the, you know, get out of here. Hey, guys, we're getting out of here.
Let's go.
So a little bit about, like, let's just real quick. The Large Hadron Collider is located at CERN. CERN is the European Organization for Nuclear Research. Physics and engineers are probing fundamental structure of the universe there.
Yep.
They use the world's largest and most complex scientific instruments to study the basic constituents? I don't know what that word is. Of matter and the fundamental particles. The instrument that they use at CERN are particle accelerators and detectors. The name CERN is actually derived from the acronym for the French Conseil Européen pour la Recherche Nucléaire.
You brought France back, European Council just now.
For nuclear research.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So the name is based off of the French, the acronym for the French term for it. And that's where it gets its name, because I was reading about CERN, I kept seeing this name, and I was like, European, the E-O-N-R does not equal CERN. And then I looked it up, and I was like, oh, okay, that's why.
It's the
we're done with that one. So now the biggest thing,
like three pages. What the hell?
Oh, no. Like, I don't need to read the rest of it.
Oh, you know what cool. I mean? Yeah.
Like, a lot of the stuff that was in details behind it, like, I didn't need to go over because it was it's just little more details about CERN. And oh, I mean, yeah. It's located in Geneva. All the control centers are for it are basically in one spot. Mm-hmm. All there. Now, the reason that they believe that, you know, when they collided these particles together is because what they were looking for was called the Higgs boson mm-hmm. particle.
The God particle.
Which basically is the God, they call it the God particle, which scientists do not like to call it that, you know, that nickname, because science and God, like, don't like those two things together. But basically, the Higgs boson, they had theorized that it existed, and it's a particle field that actually gives all other particles, protons, neutrons, everything like that, its actual mass.
Right.
Without it, nothing would have mass, is what they theorized. And then in 2012, when they conducted this experiment, they were able to detect this field and prove that the Higgs boson was a thing and like an actual thing that that does exist and gives things their mass.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see here. I got something here on it. Let's see here. I don't think there's anything else here I need to mention. Yes, I covered that.
And there Bear with are me. A lot of conspiracy theories to go with CERN other than just this one.
Oh, I've got some we'll go over here in a little bit. Gotcha. Like, I've definitely got some.
Good.
So we've covered CERN. So CERN is the organization that has the Large Hadron Collider, and they're conducting experiments trying to unravel some of the mysteries of the universe, try to figure things out, like in regards to particles and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on one second real quick. I feel like Braden was reading all this the other day, and I feel like he put me out of order.
You want to fight him?
Well, I can fight him.
Yeah,
I've seen him lift weights, so I don't have a problem there. Like he's doing a good job, but, you know, he's not me.
You've never seen me lift weights. I'm so fat. Anyways,
okay. So we got that covered. And like I think at the beginning we'd already talked about it. The Large Hadron Collider is 27 kilometers and. You know, diameter, they're using it to study things, particles, and like hit them against each other, stuff like that. So, so the theory is the black hole. So, what is a black hole?
We don't know.
You don't know what a black hole is?
I found a
place here. This is off, this is from NASA, like, website. Okay, and it says, what's a black hole? And it says, in parentheses, grades 5 through 8. So, we're going to explain it this way because this is probably the easiest
way. 1 through 4.
They don't tell them about this.
We don't talk
apparently.
About
this isn't black holes. This isn't important before you're in fifth grade.
Yep, you become a real black hole when you hit 5.
Yeah, so if you don't know, if you've never heard of black holes, just in case, we'll go over it real quick. A black hole is a region in space where the pulling force of gravity is so strong that light is not able to escape. The strong gravity occurs because matter has been pressed into a tiny space. This compression can take place at the end of a star's life. And some black holes are the results of dying stars, which, you know, it occurs during a supernova.
Yeah.
Because no light can escape, black holes are invisible. However, space telescopes with special instruments can find black holes by looking for other, you know, other things around them. You know, like like gravitational pull, like pulling like star matter and stuff like that into them. So there's that. And how big are black holes? Black holes can come in many ranges of sizes. There are three types of black holes. The smallest ones are known as primordial black holes. Scientists believe that this type of black hole is as small as a single atom, but with the mass of a large mountain. So Jesus. Imagine something that you cannot see, but it has the mass of, like, the Rockies. You know what I mean? The most common type
is that the next type of
a medium-sized black hole. God, I hope not.
You know, instead of nukes, they're going to create black hole bombs or something. It's like just big enough where it'll suck up a whole city.
Yeah, that would suck. Get it? Get it? You get the joke? Do you get the joke? I'm sorry. I apologize. Actually, I don't apologize. Dad jokes are great.
Dad jokes.
But anyways, the most common type of medium-sized black hole is called stellar. The mass of a stellar black hole can be up to 20 times greater than the mass of the sun, and it can fit inside a ball with a diameter of about 10 miles. They said there's dozens of them that may exist within the Milky Way. The largest black holes are called supermassive. These black holes have mass greater than 1 million suns combined and would fit inside a ball with a diameter of about the size of a solar system. Scientific evidence suggests that every large galaxy contains a supermassive black hole at its center. We actually have one at the center of the Milky Way galaxy, and it's called Sagittarius A.
Yep.
And it has a mass equal to of about 4 million suns and would fit inside a ball with the diameter of about the size of the sun. So we have a black hole at the center of our universe about the size of a sun. Okay, let's see what else here. Anything else? How do they form? Primordial black holes are thought to have formed the early universe around soon after the Big Bang. Mm-hmm. Stellar black holes form when the center of a very massive star collapses in upon itself. Like I said, a supernova.
Yep.
Let's see. Scientists think that supermassive black holes are formed at the same time as the galaxy they are in. The size of a supermassive black hole is related to the size of the mass in the galaxy it is in. This goes back to if black holes are black, how do scientists know? Like I said, there are certain things they can measure within space as far as fields of gravity and this and that.
It's a lot of math.
Determine if there is one there. Yeah.
They can use a lot of math to figure that stuff out.
Right. And, I could do some math. My job requires math, but I don't think my math is good enough to find a black hole.
Yeah. I don't think mine... Yeah, I'm definitely not either.
Well, you never know until you try. Okay, could a black hole destroy Earth? I think that's pretty... Well, one is, yes, it could. But two, let's see here. Black holes do not wander around the universe randomly swallowing worlds. They follow the same laws of gravity as every other object in space.
Yeah.
The orbit of a black hole would have to be very close to the solar system to affect Earth, which is not likely. That's what they say. Is there anything else important here? Will our sun ever turn into a black hole? Our sun actually does not have enough mass for when it collapses to actually turn into a black hole. It will become a red giant. It'll throw off its outer layers, and then it'll become a white dwarf star. So our own sun could actually not become a black hole.
Yep. And it's not going to start shedding until about 4 billion years from now.
Yeah, it's a long ways away.
So but it will slowly increase in mass and size, though.
Yeah. Okay. So do you want to go over? So that's what a black hole is. That's what CERN is. That's what the Large Hadron Collider is. So what happens to us if the Earth falls into a black hole?
Yeah.
So what would happen? One effect scientists say is spaghettification, which can happen if you stray too close to a black hole. You'll stretch out just like spaghetti.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. What do we got here?
I don't know if people realize this, but I love science so much. Like, if you can't tell, like, I'm doing no research and I'm over here like, spaghettification, is that what it is?
Yeah, so one of the best known effects of a nearby black hole has been the imaginative title of spaghettification. In brief, you will stray too close to a black hole, then you will begin to stretch out just like spaghetti. This effect is caused due to a gravitational gradient across your body. Imagine that you are headed feet first into a black hole.
Mm-hmm.
Since your feet are physically closer to the black hole, they will feel a stronger gravitational pull towards it than your head. Worse than that, your arms, by virtue... are not the center of your body, will be attracted in a slightly different direction. The net result is not only an elongation of the body overall, but also a thinning out or compression of your middle section. Hence, your body or any other object such as Earth will start to resemble spaghetti long before it hits the center. So based upon that, if they did create a black hole, like in the exact spot that it occurred, we wouldn't be... Well, there's two things here. Obviously, you have, like, the relativity part of it with gravity. But then, like, we're at the center. So, like this says, you would be stretched out and gone way before you even got even close to the center of it.
Yeah.
So, hypothetically, if a black hole appeared out of nowhere next to Earth, the same gravitational effects that produce I wish they'd have chosen a different word, because this is such a silly word to say.
Spaghettification
would start to take effect here. The edge of the Earth close to the black hole would feel much stronger force on the other side. As such, the doom of the entire planet would be at hand. Obviously, we'd be pulled apart. Let's see here. Is there anything else I want to cover? What's on the back here? What's life like around a black hole? And this is going to be my favorite movie ever is Interstellar.
Yeah. Oh,
that is by far my favorite movie of all time. For those of you who watched Christopher Nolan's film Interstellar, the prospect of a planet orbiting around a black hole might be an appealing one. For life to thrive, there needs to be a source of energy or a temperature difference. And a black hole can be that source. There's a catch, though. The black hole needs to have stopped feasting on any material, or it would be emitting too much radiation to support life on any neighboring worlds. So they emit so much radiation, or there's so much radiation around them, that it would basically there couldn't be life on anything close to it.
Right.
Would basically be the theory there. Which would make sense. Like, if light can't escape from it, how does radiation get out of it? Like, I'm asking a serious question here. Like,
I would think that as, like, an explosion.
Yeah, like, I guess I don't understand that part of it. Like, well, I would think that if it was going to pull light in, that radiation would be able to get out.
We have no idea what the hell a black hole, like, is, though, don't we? We don't?
Yeah. Because I mean, we know it's a collapsed star, and we know it's gravity, but no one knows what's inside it. Because you can't get in there and look, because nothing can get out.
Yeah, yeah.
So if we were to send something into a black hole, nothing can get back to us. So right. It's impossible to say.
It would have to be like constant contact up until the point that it doesn't allow you to do it, I guess.
Yeah. Which once you cross the horizon and into it is where your communication would end, and all the information is inside of it. From what you'd be able to see or whatever.
The horizon, I would think it would be affected so much. Because, I mean, just like you talked about it, in Interstellar, the closer you are to the event horizon, the slower time moves.
Due to gravity, and I don't really understand how all that works, but apparently that's a thing.
Yeah. Because if I'm going closer to the speed of sound, I'm going to age slower than what you would.
Yeah. Well, it says here, too, is like, what would life look like on a world, assuming it's not too close for this to be spaghettified, of course.
Right.
Is another matter. The amount of power received by the planet would probably be tiny compared to what Earth receives from the sun. And the overall environment of such a planet could be equally bizarre. Indeed, in the creation of Interstellar, Kip Thorne, which I don't know who that is, I'm guessing probably a physicist or something, was consulted just to ensure the accuracy of the depiction of the black hole featured. Yeah. These factors do not preclude life. It just makes it a tough prospect and very hard to predict what forms it could take. So they're basically saying that if a planet is orbiting a black star, if it's not so close to be sucked in, I mean, there could be life on them.
Yeah.
It's enough of an energy source, possibly. Mm-hmm. It's just very, very unlikely, it seems. So, and that's it. I got another one here.
Yeah.
Talking about what happens to get sucked into a black hole. Let's see if there's anything different here. Actually, I know why I printed this off. There's one thing at the end that is pretty incredible. Just so you know. Okay. We'll just skip to the end. To the end.
Bomb
so the good down. News is there's no way we'll ever get sucked into a black hole. You would have to get really close to one. The nearest black hole is about 1,500 light years away. So you'd have to travel at the speed of light, which Jesus. We cannot do right now.
Yeah.
For 1,500 years to get there. You will never be spaghettified. It's impossible. You get it? It's impossible. It's impossible.
That's terrible.
Sincerely, Dr. Universe, whoever that is who wrote this to some 10-year-old kid.
Okay.
Yeah, Dr. Universe wrote this to a 10-year-old kid who asked a question who was from North Carolina.
Thank you, kid from North Carolina, for asking that question to Dr. Universe. There's no.
I love it because it gave me that joke. The only reason I printed the whole thing.
He gave himself that nickname. You know damn well he did.
Why wouldn't you? Like, if you're going to give yourself a nickname, why don't you call yourself Dr. Universe?
I don't know. Like, I guess I didn't give myself Peaswad. You know, like, it was given to me. Whereas Sleepy Weasel was a choice.
It was, but that's just been like my gamer tag. My nickname in high school was actually Raymond. Raymond, because it rhymes with my last name. So, people call me Raymond in high school. What's this here? This is just an article real quick talking about Stephen Hawking's viewpoints on the Higgs boson doomsday, like possibility. Stephen Hawking actually bet another scientist, Gordon Cain, $100 that physicists would not be able to discover the Higgs boson. He lost the bet, gave the guy $100. Wow. Let's see here. He said, now in the preface of a new collection of essays and lecture called Starmus, the famous theoretical physicist is warned that the particle could one day be responsible for the destruction of the known universe. Mm-hmm. Hawking is not the only scientist who thinks so. The theory of a Higgs boson doomsday, where a quantum fluctuation creates a vacuum bubble that expands through space and wipes out the universe, has been around for a while.
Yeah.
However, scientists don't think it could happen anytime soon. Most likely, they say it will take 10 to the 100 years, which is a 1 followed by 100 zeros for this to happen. So it's a very, very long time from now. Let's see here. Is there anything else in here? I mostly print this off because I like the beginning part with Stephen Hawking. This is a lot of stuff about the Higgs boson, like just details. It's about 126 billion electron volts, or about 126 times the mass of a proton. Do you want me to keep going? I don't think we really need to go through all this, do you?
No, but I do wonder, how do they not, like, I guess they do. Never mind. I was going to say, how do they not, like, create energy out of that? But it's like, oh, yeah, nuclear energy. That's, okay, never mind. Yeah.
All right, so we're not going to worry too much about that.
The dog just went.
Well, a lot of it, too, is, like I'm reading here, this is another reason why I print this off, because scientists theorize that that space-time exists on, like, the edge of being stable and unstable in our universe.
Sure.
It's either that or all their calculations are wrong. And physics as we know it is completely wrong. Because they're saying if the Higgs boson is created in this, and that, like you said, the vacuum particle, it could destabilize our universe, and, you know, that would be the end of all of us. Yeah. Like, immediately. Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to go against physics. And I'm just saying that because I understand physics, kind of. You know, I took physics in... I take pre-calculus, and I took physics also in college, and I passed both. So it's like, I have an idea. Job. I'm not saying by any means that I'm an expert on that stuff, but physics, like, makes sense. You know, like, if you look at it...
It makes sense to us for what we understand.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
There could be a whole other way of understanding it that we're not aware of. Like, physics is the basis of what we know and can prove.
Yeah, the best, based on what the we basis know. Of the best of what we know since being around. But I mean, yeah, with that being said, like, there was, like, everybody thought the world was flat at one point in time, you know, and then everybody didn't know how to make the wheel, and then nobody ever thought that stuff was possible, so maybe we
that guy was crazy. That guy was nuts.
What is that round thing he has there? Fight him, kill him, you know, or whatever they did.
Yeah. Okay, so next thing I'll go to. So we've covered what black holes are.
Yep.
Kind of what scientists think about. Kind of think about the theory a little bit, this and that.
Yeah.
So, and also we've covered what happens to you if you get sucked into a black hole. So let's go to, could the Large Hadron Collider make an Earth-killing black hole?
Okay,
so let's read a little bit into this and see if this is even a thing. Let's see here. As we push the frontiers of knowledge, it comes with risk, and it comes with the prospect of reward. The risks are many. Failure to find anything new, futility of the experiment to function as designed, and even the possibility of damage and destruction if things go wrong. But the rewards can be tremendous, including the unlocking of new knowledge, the development of new technologies, and the advancement of the entire human enterprise of science. Let's see here. The Large Hadron Collider at CERN, where they've been colliding protons at the highest energies ever achieved in a particle accelerator. God, that's a lot of math that I'm not going to read. I'm sorry, everyone. You know what? Let's just read it, because I don't even know how you read this. A few years ago, this is from the CERN website.
I'm so excited for this.
A few years ago, we broke the record. 2 TeV, in a parentheses, tera electronic volts, or 10... upward carrot looking thing, 12 EV.
Upward carrot thing is like to the power of power.
Whatever, I don't know. Which was set at Fermilab by accelerating each particle up to 3.5 TeV and smashing them into one another, achieving 7 TeV of total energy. This discovery enabled us to not only create huge numbers of great many elusive fundamental particles, like the quark, as well as the W and Z bosons, but it enabled us to discover a brand new fundamental particle and the last undiscovered particle in the standard model, the Higgs boson. God, I hated all of that. Okay, and this is kind of where it gets into really some of the other theories that you had talked about. Upgrades to the Large Hadron Collider now enable them to reach somewhere between, depending on whom you ask, which doesn't really make sense if it's science, 13 and 14 TeV of total energy. If we're lucky, the sheer number of collisions that these tremendous energies combined with the incredible detectors we have in place may allow them to create and discover never-before-seen particles in the laboratory. But, of course, this has not stopped the usual suspects from making incredible and what they say and completely non-credible claims, such as scientists at the LHC hope to make contact with parallel universes. That's one theory, that's something they're working on, that they're trying to tear the fabric, basically, and just jump into something else. And let's see. And that, and this is the one we're talking about, that poking at the universe in this way with the Higgs boson may wind up destroying it by creating a black hole that swallows us. The first one they say is just bad science reporting. And he said the third, they say the third one is a common fear that's reared its ugly head time and time again and has no, this is in bold, no basis in reality.
Ooh, suck it, nerds.
And that's what they're saying. There's a ton of theories that predict the existence of extra dimensions, not merely the three spatial and one-time dimensions we know to be present in our four-dimensional space-time, but at least one additional spatial dimension that exists in our universe. While we can't access those dimensions at the energies we probe, it's conceivable that at scales that are smaller than those we've examined, which corresponds to higher energies, these extra dimensions could exist. And if these extra dimensions exist, one theoretical possibility is that it might be possible to create tiny, miniature, microscopic black holes. However, this
the smallest black holes can hold the mass the size of a mountain. So it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. That's I think we.
And this is obviously the part of the episode where we're getting into the part where, you know, the stuff that we have is trying to disprove it.
Yeah.
So the next thing is this: they're saying that this is not possible. In fact, he said there are three reasons we know that this is not possible, and he wants to, and let's go over each one of them
at
the moment. All right, reason one, if these miniature black holes exist, the Earth has been getting hit by them for billions of years, and it's still here. They say that we've never created these particles of energy in a laboratory 7-4, but at the very highest of energies more than 100 million times greater than what we create at the, what they create at the Large Hadron Collider, particles smack into Earth constantly. The great cosmic rays that bombard us from all directions in space would contain these. Mm-hmm. If these black holes exist, they would be bombarding Earth for the entire history of the solar system. And there's absolutely no evidence that anybody in our solar system has ever become a black hole or gotten eaten by one. Outside the one at the center, you know, but that one's been there. But maybe these objects were moving too quickly, so they'll simply pass through Earth, eating too little matter to make a difference each time that they come across us. So they're so small and moving so fast, by the time they pass through Earth, they've consumed so little that, and they're moving so fast that they can't really consume us.
Yeah.
Okay, so number two, if you do create a miniature black hole, they will decay via Hawking radiation on ridiculously small timescales. So basically they're saying with the science they have that discusses how black holes, depending on size, decay and collapse, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
This
is sucking all the smaller things ones around it into it, so it would have a collapse of everything around it.
Yeah. Let's see here. It said this black hole will have at most a mass equal to the energy of the proton collision, or 13 to 14 TeV, that responds to via E equals MC to the power of 2 to a mass of just 5 by 10 to the power of negative 20 grams, and most likely less. Wow, that's a lot of math that I do not understand at all. God, okay. But if you even have the right amount to create that, you have a problem. It's unstable due to the laws of quantum mechanics. This black hole is going to decay by a process known as Hawking radiation. Yeah, for a black hole that mass, the decay time in three dimensions would be about 10 to the power of negative 83 seconds, which is not even enough time to exist. They just laid out some math, which equals the not enough time to exist. Like, I should have studied physics, because that's crazy.
It's just that instantaneous that it'd be like the collision would happen, and as the collision happens, you don't even have, you have like less than a 0.00001 of a second for it to happen. So it's pretty much, it would collide and it would already have happened. So we never would have known.
Yeah. Yeah. So it says here, to overcome the expected decay of this miniature black hole, you have to throw out the entire known laws of physics. And these these laws are so well established that it's inconceivable that they'd be wrong. It would be like waking up tomorrow and seeing the sun rise in the west.
I hope it doesn't.
Let's see here. Yeah, that's pretty much it. It says here, for argument's sake, let's assume by some new laws of physics that you haven't, because we haven't conceived yet, that you could make one of these stable. So you make a tiny black hole at rest with respect to our center, and it doesn't decay. Could it eat the Earth? And if so, how fast would it happen? This brings us to our third and final objection. Yeah. Remember, we've already allowed you to throw out the known laws of physics twice to get to this point.
This is interesting.
Okay, so you cannot compute the rate at which a black hole eats matter, and it's not even close to being as small as the lifetime of our planet. We like to think of black holes as sucking in matter, but the truth of the matter is they can only interact with it gravitationally. At a mass of, I don't know what that squiggle is, 5 times 10 to the power of negative 20 grams, that gravitational force it exerts is incredibly weak. With a smaller black hole like that, all it can manage to do is pass into our center and out again, hoping for a collision with an elementary particle as it does so. Let's see here. How long is it going to take? Hold on. I'm skipping through all the math. How long is it going to take? Assuming it eats every proton and neutron or electron that it comes in contact with and also takes into account its gravity to see what it attracts, it will eat about 66,000 protons and neutrons per second. And, of course, 66,000 protons and neutrons is a tiny amount in terms of mass. That rate of growth will, if that rate of growth was constant until the black hole becomes quite large, only at about 1 billion metric tons will the black hole start to grow faster than this. And how long is that going to take? It would take 3 trillion years. So for one of those microscopic black holes the size of an atom that they say would exist, if one were to be on Earth and be created and just sitting here, it would take 3 trillion years to consume.
Well,
which is longer than the lifetime of the sun or people, even the age of the universe.
People 3 trillion years from now, I hope you're still listening to this podcast. Hey, from the past, hi.
I hope they find it. Yeah, so based upon that, if people are saying the Large Hadron Collider made a microscopic black hole, based upon all the laws of physics, it wouldn't be able to, it would decay too fast to do anything. If you threw out all the laws of physics, it would still take 3 trillion years. So there's that. So it's just, I worry about things 3 trillion years from now. I don't know what's going on.
I got kids. I don't want anything bad to happen. My grand times 10 to the 747,000th power, whatever, kids.
Okay. And this, here's a random article, kind of a random silly one. It says, did scientists at CERN in the world in 2012? Said, people were convinced the world was going to end in 2012 as the Mayan calendar predicted in more 2000. Mayan. Protesters and time travelers continued to... Time travelers?
What?
Okay, so this is taking the advice of time travelers, which I absolutely love. I didn't even read that part of this, and I'm glad I have this printed. Protesters and time travelers continued to decry the cataclysmic dangers of the CERN's Large Hadron Collider, where scientists were taking apart the building blocks of the universe to understand how they work.
Wait, this is from NASA?
Oh, this one isn't. I got stuff from everywhere. The other stuff was from NASA earlier.
Okay, you said stuff was from NASA, and they're talking about time travelers. No, this is a known thing.
Not all. not all of it.
NASA?
Some of it. Like, the beginning facts about, like, the CERN facts and LHC facts were
actual
from the CERN website.
Facts are from...
And then some of the other stuff were from NASA. Some of this other stuff is just, like, random goofy stuff I found that's fun. Like, so that support the theory.
NASA did not say...
there are time
travelers. Okay, I'm just clearing that up.
Keith Baldwin, who wrote this, said there are time travelers.
Keith Baldwin from NASA wrote this.
I don't think he's from NASA. But, anyways. But those scientists discovered the particle they were looking for without any apparent disruption to the fabric of reality, and so the years passed without the world flipping on its axis or neutrinos suddenly becoming deadly while John Cusack in the movie 2012 raced to save his children.
Yeah.
Okay, let's put this over here. Because he did. You ever seen that movie?
He did. Yeah.
He somehow flew a plane with somebody or something.
Yeah.
No, he didn't. Somebody else did, I think.
That somebody flew a plane. And yeah, they almost didn't make it.
This thing right here states that they think it happened because stuff, like, since 2012 has just gotten so crazy, like, on our planet, that it doesn't make sense that things are still normal.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? Let's see here. It's hard to point to a moment when things started to go wrong. Do we all revert to 2012? It's easy to say life was less weird.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Things were less weird before 2013. We got a new pope without the old one dying. I can't speak to that. I don't really follow. I don't really follow that.
Yeah, the first one he's gassy, so they were like, all right, bring in a different guy.
Okay, so I'm reading through here a little bit more. this person doesn't like a particular person, and that's why they're saying the black hole created. So we're not even going to get into this one. We're just going to go ahead and let this one go. I'll send this to you, though, Peace. Because this is
that
Dave pretty
guy,
fun.
Piece of shit. He created this black hole.
Man.
He works over at
Saturn. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We don't even need to get... Yeah, we don't need that. Okay. So let's just jump to fact check.
We're not doing the gossip right now. We're doing facts.
Yeah. Well, let's just get to, like, the fact check. And this is from... Where did I get this from? This one's from USA Today.
Okay.
So,
that is a website.
I've heard of them. I've never heard of Keith Baldwin and whatever he's talking about over there. So, did CERN create a black hole in 2012 that ended our reality and we don't know it? This guy says, no, that did not happen.
How does he know?
Well, let's find out. Let's find out why he says that doesn't happen. Let's see what kind of facts this guy has.
Yeah.
There's no evidence that the LHC collider created a black hole that ended the reality. CERN has never said it created a black hole with discovery of the Higgs boson particle. First of all, if you ended reality and you knew it and just why wouldn't tell people? That's like when you make a mistake, like you accidentally, like when you're mowing the property line and you kind of mow some of your neighbor's grass and it's not the same, this is just me, and it's not the same level as yours, that's a mistake. You know, forgetting put dinner away is a mistake. Ending reality and then, like, that's a big mistake. Like, you just wouldn't tell people, oh, by the way, we ended reality, we just don't know it yet, just so you guys know. Experts have said it may be theoretically possible to produce microscopic black holes in CERN's experiments, but those objects would likely disintegrate to the fraction of in a fraction of a second due to Hawking's radiation. And even if a microscopic black hole did not evaporate, it would likely would launch into space before it consumed any part of Earth.
Which is what was also said by NASA.
The biggest thing here is that CERN has said that they lack the capability to create a world-destroying black hole due to the energy that the LHC can create. They state over and over again, and I've actually read this on the CERN website, that it does not create enough energy to be able to create a black hole, just because the amount of energy required is they can't replicate it. Like, even at the smallest level, they can't do it. Like you would need the energy of a collapsing star,
right?
You know, which we can't even create. They can't even create enough energy to actually go at the speed of light, and you would need more energy than that.
That is true. Yeah.
Than a collapsing star, much more energy than that to be able to do it. So they're saying that's the reason why. I would still say that if you ended reality, you still wouldn't tell anybody. So you'd make up every excuse in the book, right?
What happened? I don't know. I wasn't in there. That's weird.
Okay, so on this right here, based on our research, they rate this claim as false. They created a black hole. Scientists say the collider is not capable of creating a black hole, and there's no reason to believe one that was produced. But that's what I would tell everybody if I produced one by accident and it swallowed the Earth.
Yep.
So
that's weird.
So who are they to tell us?
All of a sudden, after some weird experiment, no funding.
Sure.
Not because we ended
reality. Okay, and then right here, we can get into some... this is the thing I was telling you about time towards the end.
Yeah.
Seven things you didn't know about CERN, the strange world of particle physics. These are some other just kind of random theories going along with it.
Sure.
So let's take a peek here. Something's popping up on my computer. Here's one fact that's fun. These are mostly facts. These are facts and experience, blah, blah, blah. The Large Hadron Collider is colder than outer space. Because to be able to move particles that fast and collide them and hit them with each other, it creates a lot of heat.
Yeah.
So what do they use here? The cryogenic cooling system keeps it this frigid for the sake of the superconductor electromagnets, which send proton beams hurtling towards one another in a loop 300 feet below ground. You two would need help keeping cool if you were propelling bursts of 200,000 billion protons around a 27-kilometer ring at a rate of 11,000 times a second.
Yeah.
Inside of that, when they things are, it's colder than space.
That's interesting.
This one right here is just it just says the Higgs boson isn't the God particle; it's the goddamn particle. basically, that just has to do with the guy who was theorizing it. Prior to it being discovered, tried to call it that in a book, and they didn't like that, so the editor changed it to the God particle. He was actually trying to make like a like a reference to, oh, it's a goddamn da da da, and they changed the God particle, which kind of led to his nickname. And
yeah,
the in Earth, you know, the scientific community, because they don't like it being called that.
Right.
Let's see here. What else do we have? I didn't know this. The World Wide Web was born at CERN. Did you know that?
And I knew that the internet was created by DARPA. But I
it says nobody knows
know that.
Where fundamental research will lead. Famously, Tim Berners-Lee invented the World Wide Web in 1999 at CERN as a tool to allow scientists around the world to share data. Mm-hmm. The complex instruments developed for particle physics at CERN and other similar facilities have spawned numerous other uses, including PET scans, the most common tool used to diagnose cancers. CERN shares its knowledge openly. Giannotti used the analogy of the history of light to explain the role of fundamental open-ended scientific research. If we had focused only on a business case for bigger and brighter candles, we would have never made the transformative leap to electrical lighting.
Right.
So, okay, there's that.
Hell yeah.
And this is just kind of about business related to it. I don't want to read that.
Okay.
Oh, here's one. Here's a fun one.
Here it is.
Okay.
He's excited.
But even the world's biggest science experiments can be stopped by weasels. Yes, weasels. In April 2016, the LHC lost power after a nefarious rodent chewed through the electrical wiring in one of the stations. This followed an unfortunate incident in 2009. Oh my goodness! When a bird dropped a bit of baguette onto electrical equipment and caused a power outage.
What?
Yeah. So we got, this was made for me. We got weasels and we got baguettes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, oh yeah. So you're all about both of those.
Yeah. It's kind of, you know, well, baguettes, I'm, you know, it's just come back, France, come back. anyways, but that's pretty much all the research I have. So we covered, you know, CERN, the LHC, what black holes are.
Mm-hmm.
How they operate in relation to planets or matter. Covered the Higgs boson.
Mm-hmm.
We covered the theory on what happened. We covered the stuff that states why it could happen or couldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went over some fun facts at the end and got to make a couple of dad jokes in regards to things being impossible and black hole sucking.
Yep.
So what do you think? What do you think about this? Do you think that with the information that CERN puts out and NASA puts out, that that's enough to make you think that that this didn't happen?
I would like to challenge the people who are non-believers of this theory. Like, okay, let me rephrase that. I would like to challenge the believers of this theory to go and look into this math. If you look into the math and do the calculations of this stuff for yourself properly, it will show you the truth. That's how I see it. There's not a chance that I believe that they created a black hole, because there's so much science published and out there about it.
Yeah, math doesn't typically lie. That's usually a constant. But, like I said, physics is based upon our understanding of the universe and how, you know, like you said, it's what we understand and what we believe to be right. And it is proven.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what if there's other stuff? What if this other stuff can happen? What if there's stuff that we don't understand?
Yeah. What if like the whole reality thing, the faster they make it happen, maybe we're like, every time we do it, it messes up or another reality or something like that, you know, like.
But like, do I need to go to work tomorrow? Like, it's
no.
Did things end 12 years ago? Can I just
gonna hang out?
I mean, if they do create a black hole and I don't have to go to work tomorrow, right? If that does happen and they tell us,
yeah, I would think so.
Is that a good reason? Off
tomorrow,
like we're all off if that happens.
The whole world, everybody's off.
I kind of hope they figure it out and they just go ahead and do that, so I can just, you know, have like a 3-day weekend.
Yeah,
before my world gets sucked to a black hole.
Spaghettification.
Well, as long as they don't spaghettification me before the 9 o'clock Jets and Vikings game on Sunday. Like, they can do it after, just not before, because I really want to see that. But yeah, I mean, all the signs that would back it, like, we can't create that much energy to create even a small black hole. All the physics and all the everything associated with that would say that that's true. We can't even travel at the We can't travel at the speed of light. We can barely push particles close to the speed of light. How would we be able to create enough energy?
Have you looked into humans going the speed of light and what happens to your body?
I have not. What happens? How long would it take to get to Mars? Like an hour?
If you're at the speed of light?
Yeah.
I would think way less. Because the speed of light it takes 8 minutes and 40 seconds.
To get to the sun, right?
For a sunlight to go from the sun to the Earth. That's not an exact number, you know, but... So, I mean, if it's only taking 8 minutes to get to Earth, I would think it'd be like 12 minutes for, you know, something like that. So it'd be like a 4 minute.
It's just estimating. It's just an estimate, right? You know?
Yeah. 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 Not an exact.
Well, no, like Mars isn't a fourth of the way to the sun, right? Because you're just adding a third of that to that. It'd probably be like 10 minutes. Let's say 10.
Okay.
We should email somebody. Who should we email and ask?
I don't know. Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know? We could talk
to him. Don't ask him.
Humans can't feel constant velocity. Did you know that? So you wouldn't even necessarily notice that you were moving at that fast, at the speed of light. Your biggest issue would be acceleration. Actually reaching that speed. Too much acceleration... Force can hurt and even kill us. Yeah? I mean, that makes 100% sense.
Science can figure that out, I'm sure. Because when they start picking one-way missions to Mars, I definitely want to go.
Yeah.
I don't really have any science skills to help, but I feel like I'm fun to be around. Maybe he's raising the mood.
He's a good time. Hey.
Yeah, he's a good time. Like, I could just be there just for that.
You could clean. You know, you'd be tidy.
I could keep it tidy. I could clean. I like cleaning things.
He does.
But they would have to have good internet because I would still want to play Xbox. So if they're not going to have that,
I wonder what your ping, what your lag would be playing from Mars.
Pretty, might be a little tough.
Yeah.
You know, I've played with lag before. We've all tried to play on Australian servers before.
Oh, yeah.
For fun. And it can't be worse than that, right?
Yeah.
How much worse can it be?
Yeah. You know, that's pretty close the same. The difference between the United States and Australia as the United States to Mars is.
I turn a corner and then you guys see me do it on, you know, I do it on Sunday. You guys see me do it, you know, Thursday.
I'm being interrupted. Why a
cat? Oh, God, a cat.
You want to say hi? Say hi.
Say hi. Please do it. Please do it.
Say hi. Okay.
It's not going to do it.
She's 10 years old, and she's like the sweetest cat of all time, I swear.
I bet you. I wonder if I can get Dr. Professor over here. Okay, cat.
We're doing cat wars at the end.
Hey, yeah, come here. He ain't doing it. Oh, my God, he might do it.
Lay down, lady.
I got him.
Dr. Professor is a menace.
He is. Here he is. I got so many animals in this room with me. He's very upset. He does not like being held. Hey. Say hi to everybody.
Dr. Professor. That's their cat, Dr. Professor. And when I was down at Sleepy's house for Sleepy Palooza, every time you go and get ice, the cat wants a piece of ice to play with.
He does every time. Out of the ice machine.
Every single time I gave that cat the ice, and I think Sleepy was getting mad at his kids for
that. It would drive me nuts because my kids will do that, and then the cat plays with it, and then it melts in one spot and just leaves a puddle of water. And I just always step in them. And it's just like, who in the God's name is leaving puddles of water, like ice, on the floor and giving this cat ice? And it turned out to be
me, motherfucker.
I was complaining about it for like 3 days before he owned up to it. The cat is currently destroying all of the research papers I threw on the ground.
That's fine. It's totally cool.
It's fine. I'm done with them anyways.
So we are good, right? We don't believe
it. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's always the chance that you don't know certain things.
Right.
Like, there could be other things out there that we can't detect, or, like, they talk about the dimensions that are possible and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But everything based in our physics and our reality now would say that that's impossible for us to create.
Mm-hmm.
Using the tools and stuff that we have and that we know how to use. So, yeah, I obviously don't think it's happened. It's a really fun one, though. It's probably one of the, as far as the conspiracy theories we've covered, this is probably the one closest based in math that we've done.
Yeah.
Which, you know, everyone who listens to us consistently, if you go back and listen to other ones, there's usually, you know, we do detail and stuff, but this one took a little longer because there's so much actual real science around it that I did not want. I even told Peaswell before we started this that I did not want to skip. Like, we got to hit some of these points for any of this to kind of make sense. So thank you for bearing with us as we, you know, maybe, I don't know if it's, you'd call it a serious episode, but one of the ones that took a little bit longer to get through. Just because, like I said, there's so much real science based in this that kind of had to be covered and talked about, at least mentioned, for it to be done halfway properly, which, you know, we're all about doing things halfway properly, you know, not fully, you know what I mean? I got time for that.
That's too responsible.
We're busy. We got video games to play and kids to yell at and take places and... You know, I put up all my Halloween decorations yesterday. It took like 5 hours. It took a long time.
It looked good. I mean, from the Snapchat, I saw it looked good.
Oh, dude, that's not even it. I put more up today.
Oh, you're a madman.
I'm one of those guys. You know, and we got the big inflatables, all the lights on the house, webs everywhere.
Yeah.
Skeletons put every, you know what I mean? The big ones put places, strobe lights. I'm going to freaking go buy, I told Brittany, I'm going to go buy a fog machine. Can't wait to get that. We're doing that this week. But I'm not going to use that on Halloween when I hand out candy. And over on the edge. I'm not going to use that constantly.
About a story about when I was a kid and my friend Kyle and I were, we'd always hung out all the time. We were going to get ready to go trick-or-treating. We think we were like teenagers, like early teenagers. And so we're getting ready to go out and like what our final year getting candy or something. And so we were getting ready to leave and his mom's going to hand out candy. We hear her, she's got a cassette tape, I believe, or a CD of...
Mm-hmm.
Like spooky sounds. And it's like, yeah, okay, like, you know, cats and stuff.
Very cool.
But then there's one that was supposed to be like ghosts. And it was like,
oh God.
It was
what'd
like,
it sound like? Oh no.
Then there was another one with it. Oh. We were like, I don't think that's ghosts.
Yeah, you should shut that off, Mom. It's not good. It's not good.
It was great. It was super fun.
Going to attract like the local swingers chapter or something.
I know, right? Yeah.
You know? So,
would you like
be careful. You got to be careful with that.
I'm here for some candy. What's up, girl? I heard your sound effects. Like, ew. Weird. Super weird. It was super funny. That's a good story to call back on. But anyways, that was another tangent. Look at us go. So, are you ready to finish this off?
Yeah. Yeah, we can wrap this up. I think we've been over pretty much everything. So
don't forget that we are at WT Conspiracy on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. WTConspiracy@gmail.com. And we are on YouTube, and you can see our faces and how I make lots of reactions to things that Sleepy says that he has no idea about unless he were to watch back. Because sometimes he'll say
stuff. I've watched some of these back.
And I'm like, and I'll do faces and stuff, and I don't think you notice it. Because you're not looking at me the whole time.
I do sometimes. I were there, like, if I'm speaking directly to you sometimes, I'll look over here where I can see you. But most of the times I'm looking here or here or here or this and that. So,
That's us. Email us. Don't do that.
Message definitely us. Email us. You know, whatever. Email us, message us. All of it. Like, send us more emails.
People to talk to us, not spam. Don't send us spam. Okay, so this was episode number 22, Earth Was Consumed by a Black Hole in 2012. The next episode that we will be doing will be episode 23, The Denver Airport is a Gateway to Hell.
Yep.
Because it is October.
We're going to blow this one wide open is what we're doing.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Just wait. There's a bunch of craziness if you have no anything about this one. And... there's even more than just that. You know, you could look into all the other conspiracy theories as well about the Denver airport. It's pretty wild. So, outro.
I would agree.
If we didn't do a good job this time.
Maybe we will next time.
Boom, did it. Thank you for watching, everybody. Bye.
Later. Peace. Did we get it? Is it over? Is it not over? I can never tell when it's over. Yeah, okay, now it's over.
Yeah, it's over.